What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. I'm David. He is Isaac. The Memphis Grizzlies win again, four in a row now, 113-103 over the Portland Trail Blazers, improved to 18-11 on the season. Holding on to that four spot, man. What do you think this is going to look like come January? Are they still going to be fighting? You know, are they going to be in this 4-5 area? Are we going to see them slide back some? This heater is not going to last, right?
Man, I don't know, man. Going into the night, and I kind of talked about this last night, and I've talked about this on here before. Last year, when I first jumped on here and started doing the podcast with David, I kind of talked about these kind of weird theories that I have about certain situations and how things usually work out. And coming into the night, I mean, Portland, it's on a 6-game losing streak, man, back against the wall. They won a home and home back-to-back, lost to Phoenix in overtime last night. And I was like, man, this just feels like a spot where Portland's going to get right. They're going to come out. They're going to make shots. And this is going to be one of those nights. Grizzlies are due for a dud. And Portland's going to come out and get the win. They're playing them twice this week. Grizzlies probably dropped this one and get them at home on Sunday. And it was not the case at all. Portland came out and threw a punch early. Next thing you know, you look up, Grizzlies up 12-14 quickly in short order. And come out in the second half, Portland gets going in that third quarter, knocking down threes. And again, man, the Grizzlies just punch back and get the lead back and never surrender it. And it's just been amazing to watch what this team has done. And it's hard to discount them right now. I mean, before we jumped on here, I was looking at the schedule for the rest of this month. And, I mean, if they continue to play the way they play right now, I think I'm looking at the schedule. I have them going 6-2 over these last 8 games in December. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but I really do think this team can do it. That's how good they're playing. I think what's most impressive is what they've done on the defensive end and the improvements that they've made there. And again, I think Ja, I kind of predict that he might come back that Lakers game here at the end of the month. That's kind of my prediction on when he'll come back. I haven't heard anything, but that's just kind of my thoughts. But I feel like if they continue to play defense like this, I think this team could be cemented in this fourth spot. I mean, right now they're in fourth, they're 3 games behind Utah, now 2 up on fifth place LA Clippers, and more importantly, 3.5 up on that play-in line. I mean, they're moving up and up north of that line, and that's where you want to be. But if you can stay in this fourth spot and get home court advantage in the first round, that'd be amazing. But you definitely want to avoid that play-in if you can. And I think this team has a great shot of doing that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, they're doing all of this, missing their best player. And that's I talked with Joe on the last episode, and I asked him what he thought about what this defense is going to look like whenever Ja Morant comes back. And, you know, I'm going to throw that question to you as well whenever I finish up here, but it's crazy to me. It blows my mind. Last year when Ja Morant went down, this team dug down and they found something to keep driving them, and they went on a win streak. This year, Ja Morant goes down and they do the same thing. I don't want that to keep happening. I want them to be able to find something that they can, you know, something to fire them up to get going where it doesn't have to be an injury. You know, like Ja doesn't need to be a crutch. He needs to be a part of this. And that's, I think that he will be. But what do you think? Do you think, you know, because defensively, you know, and again, I don't want to hammer on it too much. I gave my opinion whenever I talk with Joe about it. You know, Ja, that would be, if you have to point out a weakness for Ja Morant, that's going to be the first thing that you go to. Do you think that we see this defense take a step back when he comes back? Or are they going to be able to continue playing at this kind of level?
That's definitely the big question, because if there's any deficiency in Ja's game, it's definitely on the defensive end. I mean, we've talked the analytics of it on here. I think everyone knows that Ja's kind of been a liability on defense, but I don't think you can look at this situation and blame the whole thing on him, because I mean they were terrible, like last in the league bad, and I don't think that was all on Ja. None of these guys were playing good defense. Kyle Anderson was a guy who they really leaned on defensively, and early in this year, I mean, he was just bad. I mean, just you had never seen him kind of that bad defensively. So I don't want to blame it all on Ja. I mean, I don't think it's 100% on him, but I also don't think it's a coincidence that they go to this level without him. So, I mean, that's going to be the question when he comes back. And I think even another question with that, and we've talked about this on the show here as well, is Jaren Jackson Jr. and how he's played with Ja. I mean, and you kind of pointed out that they had a little run there in the bubble where they both played well together. But outside of that, during the time that they played together, they really haven't both been at peak level when they played. And I think that's a big part of this. I mean, Jaren is really taking a step from where he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, he was just kind of a standstill three-point shooter there at the beginning of the season and looked like a deer in headlights anytime he tried to get in the paint and do anything else outside of letting threes. But right now, man, he's been aggressive going to the basket and kind of looking like rookie year Jaren on steroids. I mean, he's even better, man, just taking guys off the dribble and going straight to the basket. And that's something that we didn't see early in the season. So defensively, can they keep this going when Ja comes back, and how Jaren responds, and can he be that same guy with Ja, I think are going to be the big questions. And I hope the answer to those questions are yes. I mean, they need to be yes, or again, I mean, they're going to start kind of dropping games again. I mean, and like you said, they don't need to look at Ja as a crutch. I mean, they just stand around, watch him, and wait for him to win basketball games for him and keep with the team basketball, the way they're playing, keep with the team defensive principles. And you add in Ja's offense, I mean, this team could be incredible. I mean, I know you don't think that they could be that three seed. Utah just won't lose. I mean, it's just not Grizz winning all these games but not gaining any ground on them, because Utah is winning games as well. But, I mean, yeah, I think
they're on an eight-game win streak right now.
Yeah, so I think if Ja comes back and does what he does, but I think this team for sure can be 4 or 5, and I think the floor is 5 if they keep playing the type of defense they do. I mean, you got to look at the teams below them. I mean, Clippers without Kawhi, I guess the Grizzlies already 2-0 on them. Denver has their injury issues with Murray already out, and then Michael Porter Jr. shut down. And I mean, you just look at these teams. I just don't think any of these teams can compete with the Grizzlies. I think Portland is really down, having their troubles. I think the Mavericks are – I'm not a big believer in that Mavericks team. I mean, I know Luka Doncic is extremely talented, but I think they got some issues there. I really do think this team could stay here in this 4-5 spot. And I even think, man, that they could compete with the Utah Jazz. I mean, they already have a victory against them on the road. So I think this is something that's sustainable, man. I just got to stay healthy. And again, man, as long as they play defense like this, that's the key. Because offense, I mean, they're going to get offense. You saw tonight when we're times, and that's the thing about this team. When they go in these offensive lulls, there was a time where they couldn't overcome that. But they're so good defensively now during the stretch that even when they're not making shots, they can stay in games. Just like when Portland went on that run in the third quarter, you look up at the end of the third quarter and the Grizzlies are only down 2. And that's because of their defense. So, I mean, that's a big thing for this team. And again, man, if they can keep that going, I mean, this team is going to be really special into the second half.
Yeah, and that's something they didn't have early in the season. When they would come out and get punched in the mouth the way that Portland did in the third, they would crumble. They would just fold, and it would end up running into a blowout on the other end. And now that's not happening. They're taking that punch, and they're bouncing back. You know, the fourth quarter, kind of going back to the game a little bit, you know, normally fourth quarter is Dame time. The fourth quarter tonight was Bane time. You know, you scored 11 points for the Grizzlies to close this game out, and that's, you know, just incredible growth from him. And that's, man, I don't want to keep bringing up the same conversations, but I don't know that I'm on team trade, to be honest with you. You know, like I'm when teams come out and they mention that they've got a player available, you know, Jaylen Brown is the most recent guy that got tossed into the trade machine by Grizzlies fans and bloggers. You know, we're talking about Miles Turner and Sabonis. I'm not completely convinced that the guy that they're looking for is not already on this squad.
You know, we talked about this the other day, man. You know, I'm a big fan of Jaylen Brown. I think I'd be willing to give up the farm for Jaylen Brown. We talked about Miles Turner. I don't think he's the guy that I'd be willing. I'd give up a lot for him, but I don't think I'd give up the farm for him. Jaylen Brown's a guy that I would be willing to give the farm for. Now, I get what you're saying. Like, Bane is developing to a guy that he's more than a role player. He's not going to just be a role player. I think that's kind of the thoughts, the sentiment when he first came in. He's already more than that, and I think he has even another level they can go to. I mean, he's going to be a special player, and I think I agree with you that I think he could be that third guy. But man, if you have a chance to bring in an all-star player like Jaylen Brown, man, I'm going to take that opportunity if I get that opportunity. And it's going to take a lot to get him. I think you just have to basically kill the assets to bring him in, man. You got to pay to get Jaylen Brown here. But I think anytime you have a chance to get the guy like that in here, I think you do what he can do offensively. I just think he takes his team to another level. Now, playing devil's advocate, I think someone that would say that they wouldn't make that move, I think one reason would be Jaylen Brown's a guy that needs the basketball. And we know how much John Morant needs the basketball. And he's a guy that dominates the ball. How would they coincide together? I think that would be a big question if somebody was negative and would say, I'm not so sure I'd make that move.
And I realize that Jaylen Brown is a good defender. You know, I don't want to take anything. I'm just not as high on him as some of these other people are. And I don't mind, you know, at the end of the day, I have zero say in what this franchise does anyway. I'm just, I cover the team, but I'm a fan just like everybody else. At that price includes Brooks and Bane, it's too high.
I'm not giving up Bane. I put Brooks in the deal, but I'm not giving up Bane. Definitely not both of them. But if it came down to dealing, I would probably put him in a deal, but Bane is off the table. If they got to have Bane, man, I'm not doing it.
You know, you can argue with me and you could tell me that, yeah, it's proven Jaylen Brown is an all-star. No doubt about it. There's no guarantee that Desmond Bane ever makes it and ever gets to that level. But who's to say that, you know, what is Desmond Bane's ceiling? What can you tell me? The truth is you can't tell me for sure what his ceiling is. We're seeing like insane growth from him coming into his second season here. And I had some numbers. I've got them right here. Hold on. Let me find this paper. Desmond Bane. Oh, no, I don't have the paper in here. I took it out. The second year numbers from Desmond Bane and Jaylen Brown, Desmond Bane's second year numbers are better than Jaylen Brown's. And that's like, I don't know what I done with that paper. I had it. I wasn't even going to talk about it tonight, but that's something that I had whenever Joe and I were talking last night and I didn't bring it up in the show. So, you know, you can't tell me what these guys, Taylor Jenkins and the staff have been incredible whenever it comes to developing talent. You look at what this bench has been able to do. The guys that have been stepping up like Conchar, Killian Tilly, Santi Aldama has played some, you know, they have everybody on this roster with the exception of Culver and Pons have played rotational minutes. And they've been productive when they've been in there. You know, there's been times when Zaire Williams has looked kind of rough. He's essentially a high school basketball player in the NBA right now because he had little to no college experience at Stanford because the season was so jacked up. I would be completely fine. We are 2 to 3 years away from Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.'s prime. I would be 100% fine with this Grizzlies roster not changing a whole lot in the next couple of years until you see what you have in Desmond Bane. Dylan Brooks, the amount of energy, the thing that he brings to the floor that I feel like they're going to miss going and getting a guy like Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's one hell of a defender, don't get me wrong. And you could argue maybe that he's a better defender than Dylan Brooks. I've watched more Dylan Brooks than I have Jaylen Brown. I can't say for certain who is a better defender, but the one thing that I can say for certain is Jaylen Brown doesn't play with the kind of energy that Dylan Brooks does. And Dylan Brooks is the heart and soul of this team. When you go to messing with chemistry of a team, that can really throw things off. If you lose an energy guy like Dylan Brooks from this team, who's going to bring that? Maybe you get that in the draft from some of these picks that they have. Maybe you get that by signing somebody else. Maybe Jaylen Brown is that guy, and I just don't recognize it because I haven't watched him as much as I watched Dylan Brooks, although I have watched quite a bit of Jaylen Brown. But the point that you made about him needing the ball in his hands, there have been talks. Marcus Smart earlier in this year said that Jaylen and Jason don't want to pass the ball. They don't want to get their teammates involved. It's not working that well with Jason Tatum. How's it going to work with Ja Morant?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's an interesting point. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if there's any drawback to it, I think that would be the big question. But the thing about it is most guys that are high usage, guys that score, if you're talking about wings or guards, a lot of those guys have the basketball in their hands a lot. I think that's kind of the idea, that if you're going to bring somebody in, that's going to kind of come with the territory. And again, man, if you're going to not make a move like that and make an argument for it, that would be it. Because, I mean, you kind of like the way that Bain and Dylan have fit in with Ja, and you don't know what would happen if you bring in another high usage guy like Jaylen Brown. That could throw the chemistry off. You can talk, Dylan is big in his locker room. These guys really love Dylan and the energy he brings, and they feed off of that. And sometimes you can make moves and do too much, as they say, and mess the chemistry up. So, I mean, those are valid questions. I mean, and valid points. I have no arguments with that. But again, man, if I have the opportunity to go out and bring Jaylen Brown in, man, I think I'd do it. But I can definitely understand the other side of it. But to talk about Dylan and Desmond Bane, man, big night for them. I mean, combined, 45 points combined, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 7 of 15 from three, 14 of 29 from the field. Both of those guys have really, really stepped up. I mean, we talked about who would step up in Josh Stead, and the three guys that you kind of said was Jaron, Dylan, and Desmond. Those were the guys that really kind of need to step up and lead this team, and they've absolutely done that and more during the time that Ja was out. And it's good to see, man, that the depth on this team, that this team can win with games the way that they have without a guy that's averaging 25 points a game. I mean, it's simply amazing. I mean, it's a testament to these guys and how hard they work, and this coaching staff for putting trust in these guys that don't usually play. I mean, you see them in a Lakers game against veterans. You got guys like Jared Culver coming off the bench and playing big time minutes and being productive. Killian Tilly, these guys are ready. Santi Aldama, when they come in, these guys are not, the moment is not too big for them. And that's because the coaching staff believes in them and puts them out there with confidence. So, I mean, it's been amazing to see. And hopefully when you add Ja and you add Zaire and Brandon Clark back to this, they can continue rolling.
So do you think, Slow-Mo had a massive game tonight. Do you think that he is on his way back? Because he's not really been himself this season. And we had some concerns with the shoulder injury. As you know, he had made the comment that was, you know, it's just something I'm going to have to deal with. We thought that maybe that could be holding him back. Then he missed some time. And then tonight, he was all over the place. This was, you know, if you want to call it vintage Slow-Mo, blocking shots, you know, stealing the ball, rebounding the ball, playmaking, doing everything that you expect from Kyle Anderson. And this is the guy that they had last year that so many Grizzlies fans fell in love with, because he is like a freaking Swiss Army knife. Whenever it comes to a guy coming off the bench, he can handle the ball and initiate the offense if you need him to. He can play, I mean, pretty much 1-5, depending on what lineup you're running against. And this is huge. If he is back and he's going to play at this level night in and night out, instead of like the lump of his old self that we saw at the beginning of this season, that's going to be huge for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, he's really picked it up, even on both ends of the floor. The defensive end, he was really struggling early in the season. That was extremely head-scratching, because if anything, even if he's not scoring, you think you're going to get the defense from Kyle. He wasn't even giving you that early in the season. But, I mean, tonight, man, just throwback, like you said, Bennett's game looked like the Kyle Anderson that kind of led this team when Ja was out early last season. And if he's going to be this guy, I mean, that brings a completely different dynamic to this team. I mean, he had the full – Slow-Mo game, man, just good, taking the ball full court, going to the basket, man, going one-on-two, man, taking guys and making layups. I mean, he was fantastic tonight. And when we talk about the trade deadline and expiring contracts, he's kind of a guy that you kind of throw in that mix with Tyus Jones and Jared Culver and these aspiring guys that you have on aspiring contracts, because you think he's a guy that a higher contending team could look at and say, man, that's a piece that could possibly really help us in the playoffs. So you think if you're going to make a move, he would be kind of on that list of guys that you would move. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I've seen a lot of people ask the question of, is this season, are they ready to make that move or should they wait? And when people say that, I kind of look at the assets, and that there will be offers that you can make next season and into the future. But I think your best offer that you could make with the assets that they have would probably be at this year's deadline, because you have those three guys that I just mentioned that you can move, and you have three draft picks this year that you know you're not going to execute all three of those draft picks. I mean, they have the Lakers pick in the future and they have their own picks, but I think the best package that you'll probably be able to put together for somebody outside of, like, you trade Jared or something like that, which I don't expect to happen, it's probably going to be this year. So I think that's kind of the question that you're going to have to ask yourself. If you don't make a move at the deadline this year, those guys are going to expire. Are you going to extend Kyle? I wouldn't be upset if they do. I think when he's playing and healthy and looks like he looks tonight, he just brings so much to the table. He's so valuable that any winning team would love to have a guy like that. And I think he's great in the locker room. And he's a good guy. So if he can play like this, man, I don't mind at all if they extend him. But if you're going to make a move, I think he's probably going to be one of the guys at the top of the list at that point because of the expiring contract and the different things that he brings, the package of what he brings on the offensive and defensive end. I think a lot of teams would like to have him. That's going to be the question. I still think if they're going to make a big move, it's probably going to be at the deadline or on draft night. I think it's going to be their best offer. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. I think they're going to do something because I just don't see them using all three of these picks. I think you could use them to move a couple of them to try to move up higher in the draft. I think that could be a route they go if they key in on a guy they really love to try to get up higher. I think that's one route they could go where they could try to get a veteran player. But we'll see how it plays out. But, again, I don't mind at all if Kyle's the guy to extend because, again, I think he's a winning player and the kind of player that you want on your team if you're a winning basketball team.
Yeah, Joe made a great point yesterday talking, you know, I mentioned the timeline earlier, but they could easily use those picks and you were talking, you know, move up and go and get a guy, you know, Jaden Ivey is playing out of his mind right now. He's a little bit small, you know, to put next to.
I'll make it work, man.
You know, like
I'll find a way to make that work.
He's the one guy that's under 6'6" that Isaac is going to like.
I love it, man.
Jaden Hardy is another guy. You know, he's playing for the G League Ignite. Caleb Houston, you know, he's a little bigger. But, you know, like there's guys in this draft that could maybe be what you're looking for. And again, like I said, you know, you have there's pieces on this roster. We don't know what the ceiling is for Bain, what it is for Zaire. You know, and, you know, Dylan Brooks tonight, looking at this box score, man, Dylan the distributor, you know, 22.7 rebounds, six assists.
Yeah, big time.
How many times has he had multiple assists in a game this year? And that wasn't happening previously. That's huge for this squad. We know that Dylan can attack. We know that he can get downhill. He gets tunnel vision sometimes. He used to drive us crazy whenever he would just, you know, head down, not pay attention to any of his teammates. I'll never forget, there was a shot. Dylan was in the paint with four defenders around him, and Grayson Allen was wide open in the corner.
Yeah, I remember that exact play you're talking about.
You know, and everybody was like, oh, just pass the ball. Like, that was not that long ago. So you're seeing growth from these guys. It could very well just come through the draft. It doesn't have to come from them going out and getting an all-star caliber player from somewhere else. And I would be fine with it either way. If it does happen that way, if they go through the draft to do this, do you think that it's going to mean more than if they go out and they trade anybody, like trade and get a guy like Jaylen Brown?
I mean, the internal growth for this team has been fantastic. I mean, you just laid it out. I mean, Dylan is a completely different player. He's just not that guy. He still takes bad shots at times, but any guy that's a scorer, a guy that's a high-volume shooter, you're going to see that. I mean, there's going to be times where he takes bad shots, but he's much more efficient than he used to be, and he's definitely a much more willing passer than he used to be. I mean, he finds the open guy now, but kind of fixes spots. And when he gets aggressive, when he gets cooking, you want him to take those shots like tonight. I mean, when he's aggressive and attacking the basket like that, by all means, man, keep shooting it, keep putting it up, keep going to the basket. I don't have any problem with it at all. So, I mean, I do see a path to where they could go that direction because I think Zaire Williams is another guy they took a swing and you could see a couple years down the line and he could be another guy, another piece on this team. So, I mean, the internal growth, and especially with this coaching staff, this is a coaching staff that I would trust to develop young talent. If they want to go the route of bringing in another guy at the top of the draft or near the top of the draft, I believe in this coaching staff is a staff that can develop a guy that could fit in with this culture. So, I mean, that's a route that they could go. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I think they got some assets. It's just all about how they want to deploy them, how they want to use them. I trust this front office to make that decision and how they want to go about it. And I think that's what's going to be so intriguing. I do expect them to be active at the deadline. I think they're going to do something. I don't think this is going to be one of the ones like we saw last year where they basically just don't do anything. I think they're going to do something, but I think the big move, they could go either way, and I trust this front office to make a decision which direction they want to go.
Yeah, we'll jump back into the game here. We've kind of been theory crafting. I've done that quite a bit talking with Joe on the last episode. You know, anytime that stuff like this comes up, the conversation around, you know, like Grizz Nation, that's what it gravitates toward. We start talking about, you know, we as fans, we like to dream about, oh, you know, are they going to go out and get this guy? Because we understand that in Memphis, or for the most part, we understand that in Memphis, going out and signing that big name free agent is tough to do, because it's a smaller market team. So if they're going to land a guy like that, it's going to have to come via trade or the draft. You know, Zebo, that's how he got to Memphis. He got here via trade. And so, you know, whatever happens with it, you know, we're yet to see. We still got plenty of time before the finished product is here. But I want to talk a little bit about the perimeter defense from this team. And we were talking about early in the season, them not being able to stop dribble penetration, them not defending the three-point line very well. And those things have all improved. Obviously, Dylan Brooks coming back was a huge part of that. And, you know, him and Job not played that many games together. So maybe the difference is Dylan Brooks being back and being 100% next to Ja is going to be enough that this defense is not going to see a big drop-off. And it's – I feel like I'm bashing on Ja talking about his defense, but it's not so much that. He's putting in the effort. He's mentioned that he wants to be better. He wants to be more disruptive on the defensive end. So it's not from lack of effort from him. But there's a lot of pieces. It's not – again, it's not just one guy. You can't look at a defense and how bad they were early in the year and say – it's just because of this. And on the same, and the other end of it, you can't look at it and say this defense is playing as well as it is right now because of one guy. They're communicating. They're not really being frantic. They're not getting out of place whenever it comes. You know, I remember, I can't remember what team it was against, but I remember watching this defense, and when they would get out of place, it would just look like they panicked. And they'd be running around the floor like chickens with their head cut off.
Yeah.
And the teams would just rotate the ball, knock down an open three. And now these guys are communicating. They're talking out on the floor. And those things are not happening as frequently. There's still times, you know, even in that 76ers game when they blew them out the other night, there were times where they had defensive breakdowns. Tyrese Maxey got to the rim two or three times and had an uncontested layup or dunk. So, you know, they're still having breakdowns, even though the defense is better. But do you think it's anything outside of the communication? Like, is there something that you can put your finger on as to what's making this defense do what it's doing right now?
I mean, I think there's a lot of factors. Like you said, I think Dylan Brooks being back, being 100% and getting comfortable, I think that has a lot to do with it. And Steven Adams is also a big part of it. I think he's been much better than he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, we kind of talked about him being kind of a disappointment on that end because we thought he'd be a slight upgrade to JV, and early in the season he wasn't. But here late, as of late, I mean, he's been fantastic. He's done a lot better job, and I think it starts there and moves out to the perimeter, which has been better. And I think one thing, there's still times, like you said, where even guys, they give up open three-point looks, but when you're playing better defense, guys – are thinking more. When they get into games and it's easy, you're making shots, you get in a rhythm, you a lot of times you knock down those open shots. Now, even when these guys get these open shots, a lot of times they're not knocking them down because the Grizzlies defense has put something on their mind. Everything's not easy and they're not in a rhythm. So when a lot of times when they get those shots, they miss them. Early in the season, one thing that was so bad that teams wouldn't even have to go to their second progression. Whatever the first look that they were trying to get, they would get it against the Grizzlies defense. They weren't no resistance at all, and they've just been better. I mean, and again, I think it starts with Steven Adams. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been fantastic all season defensively, but I think he's been even better. He's blocking shots, and like you said, they're on the string, they're talking, and it's just been fantastic to watch. I mean, I think that's kind of what it started the winning streak when Ja went out and this defense uptick. I mean, that's kind of what started their run. I think it has more to do with their defense than their offense, because a lot of nights, I mean, they had this stretch where they had got really bad, but most games, even in some of the losses and the blowouts, I mean, they were getting beat like 135 to 120 or something. They were still putting up a lot of points. They just couldn't get any stops. So now you're kind of getting both, and it's fantastic. But I do think the communication is the biggest thing. Early in the season, it just wasn't there, and not having Dylan there and Steven Adams struggling in the middle, I think it was just tough. I mean, the only guy that was really playing good defense was Jaron. And outside of that, it was just a struggle for everybody else. But I think Dylan coming back and being comfortable now, I think, is the biggest part of it. And I think Steven Adams being better has a little bit to do with it as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Let's run through the team stats here, man. You want me to take it tonight, or you want to do it?
Man, I can run through them, man. Grizzlies in Portland, same amount of shots tonight. Both took 82 shots, but Grizzlies 39 of 82 for 47.6%. Portland 31 of 82 for 37.8%. Grizzlies 11 of 32 from three, 34.4%. Portland seems like they had a three-point barrage, man, but only hit four more than the Grizz and only took six more. They're 15 of 38 for 37.5%. So Portland was plus six in attempts, plus four in makes. So they're plus 12 there. Free throw line, 24 of 30 for the Grizzlies for 80%. Portland really good from the line tonight, 26 of 28 for 92%. Grizz plus two in attempts. Portland plus two in makes. So Portland plus 14 between the three-point line and the free throw line and still end up losing the game by 10 points. Big night on the boards for the Grizzlies, man. Kyle Anderson was all over the boards early in that game. A big advantage for the Grizzlies. 53 to 38 overall, 11 to 5 on offensive rebounds. It's one of the big reasons why they were able to win this game. A lot of offensive rebounds in this game, second chance points for this team. Grizzlies plus four, assists 22 to 18. Grizzlies plus one in steals, 10 to 9. Portland wins the blocks, 6-5. Turnovers, 16-15, advantage Portland. Both teams, 18 points off each other's turnovers. Fast break points, 27-23. Grizzlies, big work in the paint tonight, 50-28 over Portland. So, I mean, outside of that little run in the third quarter, I mean, the Grizzlies pretty much controlled this basketball game. And Portland came out early and got a little lead. But outside of that, the Grizzlies kind of raced that quickly. Portland – Kind of got hot there from three for a minute there in the third quarter, but the Grizzlies kept fighting. Once they took the lead back into the fourth quarter, they never really surrendered. And again, man, this is super impressive because, again, I didn't think they were going to win this game. I just felt like it was a tough spot. I felt like Portland was going to get everything they had in this game. I felt like it's going to be one of them nights where they just came out and made shots, losing on the home floor the night before, losing six, back up against the wall, got to have it, and it was not the case, man. Grizzlies get this win, even though they were favored in this game, man. I still think this is a super impressive win for this team to be able to go out there and get this W, especially because it was kind of similar to the situation when they played him out there the first time. And Portland, when coming back, Dame, I think that was his first game back. He had been out, and you just saw Portland come out in what I call a get-right game, and I thought that was the same thing that was going to happen tonight, and you know, it wasn't to be, man. So Grizzlies tied the season series and got a chance to go up 2-1 on Portland on Sunday.
Yep. So the next game is in Sacramento on Friday night. We'll be back with you with a post game on that one. I guess depending on the schedule, I don't have to work this week, so it shouldn't be an issue. I may have to row solo. I don't know what Isaac's Tigers schedule looks like. You got anything Friday?
No, man. The next Tigers game, man, big game Saturday morning up in Nashville. Gets the Vols, man. That's going to be a big one. Tigers get – not a Tiger show, but real quickly, they get a big win against Alabama, so they got a chance to really kind of right the ship against Tennessee on Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. But, man, no, man, good to go on Saturday night. Grizzlies in Sacramento, two-game road trip, taking on the Sacramento Kings. Got a big victory on them about a week and a half ago in Memphis. I think it's 128-111, something like that. So I think Sacramento is kind of going through a transition. We'll see what happens there. But I think that's another game where the Grizzlies will be favored, and it's another game I expect them to win. I expect – this is kind of the one that I thought they wouldn't get. I felt like they win on Friday. So that should be another fun one out on the road against Sacramento, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Anything else before we get out of here, man?
So shout out to Jitty. Man, I mean, for as much slack as we kind of gave Taylor Jenkins for having him in the rotation here early in the season, I guess maybe I want to say it paid off because he's been fantastic. As somebody tweeted at me earlier, said, like, he's turning into Grayson Allen. I mean, that's not that crazy, man. He's been fantastic, man. I mean, yeah. Dunking on both, man, get to the 19. Basket. Yeah. What was he tonight? You look at it, 3 of 3 from the field, 9 points, 5 rebounds, a steal, 2 of 2 from three, in 15 minutes, plus 26, highest on the team tonight. So shout out to Jitty, man. He's been getting it done, man, and looking like a real rotation player, even on a really good team. The way he's been playing lately, he would get minutes playing like he is now.
Yeah, man. You know, when the team is healthy, I will still say I don't know that he's a true rotation guy. Like, I don't know that he's one of the 10 best players on this team when this team is fully healthy. But it's great to have a guy like that when this team is not healthy, that is, you know, stays ready and he can go out there and he can impact winning basketball.
Yeah, I'm talking like Taylor Jenkins, man. Those play groups, man, you got to be ready. But he always talks about those where we get these guys in the play groups and they're always ready. I love what he says. It's like one of his favorite phrases in press conferences is play groups. So, but it's serious. It works for these guys. I mean, he talks about that all the time, and it seemingly that's a big deal, man. Because when these guys' numbers are called, they come in and ready to play, man. Next man up mentality is not just a saying with this team; it's true. I mean, these guys come in and put in good minutes. X came in and put in good minutes. 10 points off the bench tonight, in 15 minutes, man. He had a nice line: 4 of 4 from the free throw line, an assist, 2 steals. 3 of 5 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. So solid minutes from X tonight as well.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, the bench was better than the starters. And I think that's been the case a few times during this streak without Ja Morant. Jaren struggled tonight. You know, for all that we were gassing him up early, he had a rough night tonight. And you're going to have games like that. But prior to this one, in his last 10, Jaren was averaging around 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, 2 block shots. He was doing everything that you need your 1B guy to do. Just a bad game from him tonight. Grizzlies still were able to pull out the win. Again, final score of the game, 113-103. They moved to 18-11 on the season, standing solid in fourth place. It still feels weird to say that, man. After the craziness, the way this season started and how rough it looked early, the fact that they're in fourth place right now after, you know, almost 40 games into the season. You know, my math is terrible. Look at me. Almost 30 games into the season.
Yeah, man, rushing it.
Yeah, but, you know, still playing great basketball without Ja Morant. Hopefully we see him back sooner rather than later. You know, he's always dropping the cryptic tweets, you know.
Yeah, he had one before the game tonight. I was like, is he talking about he's coming back next game? I'm like, what is he saying, man? He always has these tweets. I'm like, what is he talking about? I can't even remember what it was. It's like, I pray before I go in or something. I can't remember what it was, but I was trying to read, like, what does this mean? Like trying to decipher it. So
yeah, sometimes, man, I feel like he's just trolling us. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of times what it is. Cause he's a guy that's on social media all the time. And he actually tweets back he's reading stuff on there. So no doubt, I think he kind of sees that. And I think he kind of trolls and plays a little bit on there, plays it out a little bit sometimes. But yeah. Man, it'd be nice to have him back out there, man. He looked like he was in pretty good shape like a couple weeks ago. So I expect it to be sooner rather than later. I've kind of predicted that Lakers game because they're going to go on a 3-game road trip at the Warriors, at the Kings, at the Suns, and they come back home on their Wednesday and play the Lakers. I got a feeling that could be the game he returns. It's always a big game when they play the Lakers, so I could see them kind of working that out, especially with them coming back home off the road trip. So we'll see. That's, I think, 6 games from now. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's kind of my prediction. I haven't heard anything, but we'll see.
I'm scheduled to be at that game, so I'm hoping that that's the case. We'll see. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. Before we get out of here, we got to tell you about our partners here at Sports Ethos, mybookie.ag, the best online sports book out there. More lines and better odds for the players than any other sports book. Go over and sign up. Use the promo code. It is still HoopBall at this point. It has not been changed yet. As soon as that happens, we will let you know. But mybookie.ag, again, the promo code is HoopBall. That will get you an initial deposit. I'm turning, you know, East Coaster here. Initial deposit matched 50% up to $1,000. Go over there, hit up. I know my man Isaac has been hitting some parlay bets as of late. Did your NHL parlay bet hit tonight, man?
Oh, man, it did not, man. I needed all. I got 2 out of 3. It was the 3 games tonight, and they were all favorites. It was an odds boost. And it was crazy because it was the Capitals and Blackhawks. I needed the Capitals to win. Blackhawks were up 4-3 with late in the game, like 2 minutes. And the Capitals scored with 3 seconds to go in the game. They scored a goal to take it overtime, and like overtime immediately the Blackhawks scored and won 5-4. So they kind of ended it there. I got the other two games that I needed, but I had to get all three. So did not hit that tonight. But again, man, it's fun, man, to place those bets out there. It makes a lot of fun, especially games that you're not interested in. It gives you a little bit more interest in those games. So man, get take advantage of that, especially when you have all these deals out there.
Yeah, 100%. Go over there. Again, the site is mybookie.ag. The promo code is HoopBall. That will get you an initial deposit match, 50% up to $1,000. If you don't know how to do it, go and follow the guys over at Ethos Gaming, and they can help you out. They have been killing it lately. I know I saw a guy over last week. He's up like 10 and a half units. So he's on a heater right now. Maybe you should go and follow him, and he can help you win when you go over and sign up using our promo code. We will go ahead and get out of here. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies, ETHOS Grizzlies. I am at DWill2111. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man, definitely go over to at Ethos Grizzlies. Give us a follow. We definitely appreciate that. And you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals. As David said, we'll be back after the game on Friday in Sacramento. But for post-game, hopefully we'll be talking about another big Grizzlies win. For David, I've been Isaac, and we'll talk to you on Friday night. Thank you. Thank you.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.